This is Believing Buckeyes with Bryant Brownie and Chindi Chekwa. Chim, go ahead and hit him with the ad.
So BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, where the game starts.
And if you have any issues with gambling, always feel to reach out to 1-800-GAMBLER. They're 24/7 to help you out if you need to talk to someone on your knees. Hey, but we finally made it, Chim. It's been a very long summer for Believing Buckeyes.
Yeah.
Talking about a lot of stuff, camp recruit and all the things. But we made it to game week. We got the Indiana Hoosiers this weekend going to Indiana to play them. So what's your thoughts on that competition in the start of the year?
Yeah, starting the season on, big game, Big Ten game on the road. The Indiana Hoosiers, who haven't beat the Buckeyes in a long time, so we don't expect anything different. But a team in Indiana who has 20-plus guys from the transfer portal, so they pretty much have a new team, going to begin looking for an identity. And then Ohio State, who we know what their identity has been, but, you know, being able to throw the ball to all these great receivers is going to change this year a little bit, given that we have a new guy that's going to be leading that offense. So that's what I see here, and I'm excited for football to be back, really.
Yeah, and so going into the season, Ohio State still got some competition on who's going to be taking the ball from the center, and we have a great guy to kind of come in to talk about it, one of my guys, one of our guys, and so let's get to it. And today we have a very special guest, one of my guys from Cleveland, from Glenville, the last quarterback to win a national championship for Ohio State. We got Cordell Jones on the call, man. How you doing today? How you feeling?
Man, good, man. Thanks for having me, man. It's a pleasure. Always good to get up with guys that I grew up watching, admire from afar, and have an opportunity the last X amount of years to become friends with. So appreciate for having me.
Yeah. And man, you feel old, man. You said grew up watching this, man. That made me feel a little bit old, man. But Cordell had the pleasure going fourth round to the Buffalo Bills, 4 years in the NFL, 7 years professionally. But we got him on the show today because everyone around Buckeye Nation wants to talk about quarterbacks. And who better to talk about quarterbacks and competition than our guy, Mr. Jones, here. So first off, I just wanted to kind of dive into it. What are you seeing from the young guys out of McCourt, out of Devin Brown? What's your thoughts on them as a players and their play? And what you think do they bring to the table to our offense?
I think two great players. I think two guys that's more than capable enough to win this, to lead this team to a lot of victories. That's the name of the game, right? And then I think you go back to me going back to the recruiting aspect of both of these players. I know Devin reclassed and came in early, and it's crazy to think about. He's a, you know, potentially a 19-year-old starting quarterback for the Buckeyes. That's very young. But what will help that transition and help some of those growing pains is the talent that he got around him. Yeah, there's a few questions up front because you got a lot of guys with not as much experience as, you know, sending off a top 10 draft pick at the offensive line and a top, you know, 3, 4, 5 rounds draft picks and a few other guys on that front. But far as skill players, I don't think you can ask for a better situation when it comes to skill players as a first-year quarterback for Devin or Kyle.
Yeah, that's very exciting, that's very true. So what's your thoughts? I know usually when they talk about McCourt, they talk about more of a pocket guy. Devin's more of a bit more explosive arm, kind of can move around a little bit. Is that what you see when you look at these guys and what they bring to the table and how they can help out the offense?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. Having an opportunity to go through and watch a few practices and being heavily involved up at the facility and watching, well, being a heavily spectator involved at the facility during spring ball, I think both guys show tremendous talent and definitely a lot of skill to bring to this offense in their own unique way. You mentioned Devin is a little bit more, he looks a little bit more comfortable outside the pocket than Kyle does, but Kyle is very much capable of causing damage outside the pocket. And then you have moments when both of these guys look like they press him a little bit. I mean, let's be honest here. This is an unbelievable opportunity for both players after Ohio State, you know, CJ Stroud going top 10 and got to replace a guy like that. You just don't replace a CJ Stroud overnight.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That just don't happen, right? And I guarantee you these guys are putting enough pressure on themselves to fill some big shoes. But I would love to see which one of these guys continue to be more consistent throughout this battle. I know they just wrapped up camp about a week ago, and they about, you know, 4 or 5 days out of their opening game against Indiana. And, you know, Ryan Day still haven't named a starter. So I would imagine both guys are going to get some type of opportunity in that game, being so late into this battle, basically saying, hey, both guys are more than capable, and I don't know which one is going to be the guy, but I feel comfortable with both right now. So we'll see.
So how do you, as a quarterback, how do you stand out? How do you claim that position? I know, you know, when I was battling to beat a corner, I know for me, my mindset was I'm running and hitting every play, and when the ball goes in the air, I got to go make the play. And if I could do those two things, right, I'm gonna somehow get on the field. As a quarterback, you know, which is probably the toughest position on the field, right? How do one of these guys emerge as the guy moving forward?
First and foremost, ain't no parlay. It is. But I give y'all a second. I give those corners a second because you guys are playing a game versus some of the best athletes in the world, and you playing backwards the whole game. So I'm not going to take light of that situation as well. Yeah, but it's a situation I don't ever want to be in, I'll tell you that. But I know when I was in a situation battling with JT Barrett after we won a championship in 2014, and just really, and also going into that season of battling for a backup spot before our starter got hurt, my mindset was, you know, protect the football. That's first and foremost, protect the football, right? Because you can't score points if you're giving the ball to the defense, and you don't want to put your defense in a bad situation. And I already know. I mean, I can only imagine some of those situations where, you know, the defense or the offense may go 3 and out or give up bad field position to a turnover, and now you got the end zone chip staring up the back of your jersey because y'all in bad field position, right? So that was my mindset, protect the ball. I think in this day and age with these guys in that Ryan Day offense, I think, you know, same thing, right? That's number one thing as a quarterback. You look at, you know, his ability, his decision-making, and that plays into protecting the football and getting the ball into the right place and putting the offense in the right situations at any given moment. So I think that it had to be number one that had to stand out. And I think then consistency, right? How consistent can I follow up good days with great days, right? And how do I respond to a bad day? You know, I was anxious to see. I was at one of the practices this past fall, and, you know, I don't think either quarterback had their best day, but I was bummed out because I knew I wasn't able to come back the next day to see how those guys respond, because to me, that's the ultimate tale of a leader. That's the ultimate tale of a quarterback that got that it factor, right? That don't get rattled too easy, and that got some things that, because we know in the game, guys, we all played at a high level, at the highest level of this. There's a lot of ups and downs in this game, and it's all about how you respond to them, right? Who can manage those situations the best, right? And I look at the last few quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud, you know, Justin Fields, Dwayne Haskins, J.T. Barrett, going back to my days, I think that's some of the things that made those guys really special because, you know, their highs were never too high and their lows were never too low.
Yeah. Yeah. And so at the end of camp, Coach Day had a press conference and he kind of brought up the quarterbacks and he kind of said, a question was asked, plain and simple. Hey, if you got, some people would say, if you have two quarterbacks, you have no quarterback.
Yeah.
Right, and then because they obviously swung it like, no, I got two guys, and he kind of started giving praises to other guys in the NFL, like, we got these two guys, you know, type of deal. So what's your thoughts on that? You know, no one obviously has emerged going to the season, so I'm saying we're going to play two guys, which is, you know, out of the norm for Ohio State. What's your thoughts on that and the mindset if you're one of those guys kind of going into that situation?
I mean, I think, you know, last time we seen a situation, I was in it in 2015 with JT Barrett, and you had two guys who battled their butts off through camp, and two guys that was more than capable enough to lead the team to some wins, and you know, the goal was clearly the college football playoffs and another national title. But I think once you – it's some truth to that. It is some truth to that. When you have two guys that are comfortable in different scenarios and situations – when it comes to the effectiveness of the offense, then you just put the rhythm. The rhythm is never in sync when you try to satisfy both of those needs or when you try to have two different game plans because you got two different quarterbacks in the game. And I experienced that firsthand. And but it can have success in certain situations where you see something like the Taysom Hill situation when you talk about the Saints, right?
Okay.
And things like that. But I don't think these two guys are that different to have that effect in a positive way. I definitely think you pick a guy, through. You evaluate the spring, you evaluate the fall. You take a deep dive into that. You look in the mirror and you pick a guy and you feel comfortable with that decision and you ride till the wheels fall off.
Go ahead, Chim.
I was going to say, what does it feel like to have, to know you have a guy on your heels, even if you do emerge as the guy? So just know that at any given point, there's another guy who can come in here and get it done. And you know that the coach may be ready to pull the trigger and put somebody else in. And also the fans will always say, if there's a one bad, bad series, they're talking about the
You know what? Yeah. Like I said, I've been through all of that, and it's tough. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, that didn't play into potentially some of my struggles at times. But this one quote that I will forever live by if I ever picked up coaching, but it stays with me. And we all have those moments, especially in our careers, where that one motivational speech, that one play, that one moment stays with you no matter what. I can't remember much of my personal conversations with players, teammates, coaches, support staff at Ohio State, or just through life, period. But those ones that stick out usually stick out the most. And, you know, going through the 2014 season, going into that season, B and JT was battling for the backup spot. And to my understanding, you know, coaching, it was a very close battle. You know, I was going to have opportunities to get in. I was a bigger guy. So, you know, I was thinking, okay, well, this year I would have maybe some type of Tim Tebow role and things like that, knowing that we just lost our starting quarterback, Braxton Miller, at the time. And, you know, I'm getting ready for those moments, especially when we struggle versus Virginia Tech, our home opener. I think we had 4 or 5 total turnovers and gave up 8 or 9 sacks. And as an outsider looking in, what you thinking? Oh, shit. Let the other quarterback play, right? So I'm thinking I was going to be in those situations, and those situations continue to not happen until about week 6 or 7 when I had this conversation with Tom Herman. And this is a conversation that really would stick out for me for the rest of my career and for the rest of my life, period. He said, when you have a quarterback, you want to make him as a staff feel like the guy. You're going to win or lose with him. This is our guy. Like, don't get me wrong, you know, Patrick Holmes struggling early in his career. Far as some games when he played, he did good. Then he looked like a rookie. Then they played, did good. Then he looked like a rookie. But guess what? I guarantee you, Andy Reid wasn't like, oh, man, I shouldn't have traded Alex Smith. You know, he's taking him on this wing. We go have those ups and downs, but I see this. This is your team, right? We only going to go as far as you're going to take us. Are you going to lead us, you know? And fast forward to 2015, we in the same situation, and I get the nod, and that was completely out the window. Yeah, I know Herman wasn't there. But right, it was right. Like 3 and out, and Urban already got JT warming up.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, he dropped the ball. I ain't doing nothing wrong. So, yeah, you hit on that of just looking over your shoulder. You don't want that as a quarterback or as a player. You want to know that, hey, my coaches believe in me. I did what I had to do to earn this spot and to earn the respect of my coaches and my teammates, and let me go out here and play this game to a certain extent. Now you out there getting roasted 24/7. We might got some changes, right? And you out there throwing it to the defense like Sam Darnold talking about, I thought I saw a ghost or seeing ghosts out there. Okay. Well, your day might be over today. Let me help you regroup. I'll meet you in the locker room, you know. But the ups and downs, because, you know, maybe you got 3 on a drive and not 7, or you miss one and you already got the other guy warming up, or you pulling him out, you getting pulled when it's a certain situation, that doesn't help the quarterback's confidence. If that's Devin, if that's Kyle, or if that's, you know, Lincoln, it doesn't matter, right? You want him to feel like he's the guy. You want him to feel like I don't want to go out there and play, try to be perfect because this may be my last drive. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So those are the type of issues that when we talk about coaching and putting guys in position that you can really outcoach yourself in those situations. Yeah, you got more than, you got 2 capable guys, but guess what? Pick one.
right. So let's put yourself in Coach Day's shoes. Obviously, you already made the decision. He's going with 2 quarterbacks. And obviously, the season starts this weekend with going on the road against Indiana. And we know, basically, we have Indiana. We have a couple of, you know, games that we should probably win pretty easily. But then we have the big one where we got to go the road to Notre Dame. If you're Coach Day, when will you try to make that decision on this is your guy, this is who we're going to stick with, or do you think he's going to just kind of keep this, you know, this going for multiple games of the year. You know, what's your thoughts on that? What would you
do? I think this is my personal opinion. I think the quarterback is Kyle, but I think he's going to be on a very short leash. I think Kyle is going to be in a situation that I was in as far as, hey, you got the nod by default. You won a championship last year, even though they didn't win championship, but you've been here longer. I'm going to give you the nod. And, oh, they're going to tell him everything you want to hear, but, you know, Indiana, you go play Indiana and you beat them 38, you know, 28 and or 28-18. You know, we ain't scoring 50, 60 points. And he just throw for 203 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. Then the media's going to get involved. Then they're going to say the offense is underachieving and things like that. So I think you pick a quarterback and you stay with it. And you try to eliminate all the outside influences and BS you're going to have to deal with when it comes to media, press conference, and all that other stuff. This is our guy. He earned this spot. And this is who we're going with. Simple. You know, this is the guy we think gives us the best opportunity to win ball games. Is that a knock on the other one? Not at all. No. Not at all. Right? So, but in this day and age, I think with the transfer portal, with NIL and all that stuff comes with coaching now, I think he got to play his cards close to the chest because, you know, if Devin get the spot, I can imagine Kyle probably won't be here next year. He's a younger player. Kyle want to play. He's more than capable enough to do the same thing. And I would think the same thing. If Kyle get the spot and he just performing at a effective level, I'm not talking about ready to be drafted first, second, third round level. I'm talking about, you know, 2-3 years and out, and he's going to return for another year, and that makes Devin been sitting for 3 years, I think he leaves.
Yeah. Okay. That's something that you got to weigh in now if you're a coach regarding that transfer portal. It's a much different game, right?
And so I think you got to do his best for the program at that point and weigh out your options. And also, you know, don't you worry about that when you cross that bridge when it comes.
Right. Do you think the importance to getting it right this year increases? Because if you think about it, okay, you have Indiana, you have Youngstown State, you have Western Kentucky, right? Once you choose a quarterback, Devin Brown's a little bit younger. Maybe it doesn't impact them as much. However, you know, you would think that getting it right, getting the quarterback that we want to move forward with this year and maybe even next year becomes more important because of the risk. I know you got young guys coming in every year, but because of the risk of, you know, whoever I choose, the other guy may actually decide to move on. Do you think it becomes so much more important to actually get it right and not
choose a guy? I think no matter what, when those guys are going to move on after this year, you look at the quarterbacks they got coming in, so they're really going to start getting ready for those guys in the years to follow. I think every year is important to get it right because, you know, no coach out here in America, even at Akron, says this is our year that we're going to go, you know, 6-6. You know, they're shooting for the same goal. So, like I said, I'm worrying about now. And I'm saying with this talent and with this team and how wide open I think college football is this year, I think I'm focused on this year. I'm not worried about, I'm focused on week by week. When we get to Notre Dame, we get to Notre Dame. When we get to Michigan, we get to Michigan. And therefore, right? But this team has an opportunity to go to college football playoffs and who knows what happens. So I'm not worried about what's going to happen in a year. And I know it's kind of in a tricky spot because the transfer portal opened towards the end of the year. You know, but that'd be my focus. You know, as a coach, I'm not worried about, I wouldn't worry about too much of that. And then the questions is going to come from that. Now that we get into, you know, week four, week five and going to Notre Dame and you know, some underachievement may be happening in those three games that we think we should win comfortably, then maybe I had to reevaluate the situation. But also, I don't know if starting the opposite guy, if it's Devin or Kyle, going to be the answer if they struggle the first 3-4 games and then say, hey, you know what? We need a different spark. We need a big something different. And the biggest game to that point, which will be Notre Dame on the road.
Right. Yeah, so I just wanted to take a step back and give you your kudos, your congratulations. Obviously, we kind of shooting through how your career went. Obviously, you're fighting for a role in 2014, that backup role. Braxton Miller gets hurt. JT is announced as the starter. He plays most of the season. He gets hurt. And then you step in to win the Big Ten championship and then win the playoffs and win a national championship. And obviously, that's, you know, you went through a lot through that. Obviously, ups and downs, what you're hearing from the coaching staff. But just kind of speak to your mindset. Like, what was your thoughts process? You know, obviously staying ready, staying with the program, staying locked in, and then once your number was called, perform to the highest level possible.
I mean, as we know, football is the ultimate team sport, and I think offense is the ultimate team atmosphere. And I get this scenario all the time. 10 guys on offense can do the right things, can go the right way, but that left guard go left when he's supposed to go right, quarterback gets head knocked off, like the worst play ever. Right. Vice versa. 10 guys go the wrong way on defense. Tim over here get a pick and take it to the house. They're like the best defensive play ever. Those guys balling, right? Yeah. Great call, D coordinator. So everybody, and not to say, you know, on offense, let's say we got 7-4. Now we really got a problem. But ultimate is the ultimate team. Offense is the ultimate team atmosphere. And I think when I had that talk with Coach Herman about, you know, you want that guy to feel like he's the guy, you know, and I set to my role at that point as a backup quarterback. I knew my responsibility is being ready whenever my number is called and whatever situation it is. And I didn't want to let my team down. I knew how important my role was. I knew how our offense at the time was susceptible to a lot of quarterback runs and hits. So, you know, it just changed my mindset from being ready from, man, when the hell am I going to get my chance? I should be into, okay, being ready for when that happens, right? And I kind of give those kudos to our coaching staff. They did a great job of making sure not just, you know, backups and reserves was ready, but everybody was ready. You know, we did things in practice where we having good-on-good competition days, winner-loser days, what we called it. And, you know, Coach Meyer yelled out, oh, you know, our left tackle got an equipment malfunction, put his backup in. He got to come off for one play. His helmet came off. We got to put his back. Now on his backup, lining up against Joey Bosa in a heated situation.
Yeah.
You know, and then, or same thing with the quarterbacks or the running backs. So you not locked in to whatever situation we run in or whatever position you in and your number get called like that, you're going to be exposed, right? And that's real game situations because as we know, you know, players go down, you know, you can go down every play.
Yeah, any play. You know? That's right.
So, they did a great job of that, making sure we stay locked into the game plan, stay locked into practice, stay locked into the situations. And, you know, I guarantee you we had those situations maybe 50 times, 100 times a year when he threw a guy in there. But I don't even probably was called once. But, you know, so 1%, you know, but guess what? I was going to be ready for that 1%. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's right.
They won't let the guys down. So that really was my mindset. And I give that credit to the coaches for installing that into us.
Yeah, and I just thinking back on that time, man, I remember very clearly. It was my 2014. It was I had just got injured. I was in the NFL. I got hurt. I had a tough season. So watching y'all play on Saturdays was a kind of a pick me up for me. But I do remember that year, super talented across the board. But the whole year I was thinking like, we just got to push the ball down the field just a little bit more, and we can get over the edge. Mm-hmm. And came in that. That Big Ten championship game, first series, I felt like.
It was first series.
I'm like, it was like the perfect storm because I'm like with the running game, with the defense that was there, and your ability to push the ball down the field. I'm like, dang, these dudes are special, and I remember that. And then I went to that Alabama game, the playoff game, got to watch that up close and personal. So just wanted to give you your flowers again, as Brian mentioned, that was a special year. And it was great for me, really. Like I said, I had a tough season that year. That was my opportunity to go back to the locker room and, you know, talk trash to all the SEC guys and everything. So
yeah, I definitely appreciate it, man. And then, like I said, I can remember vaguely of the big games you guys played in. And you know, I see B with your Tortitos jersey in the background. Is that I see you, dog. And you know, you guys were part of some great teams. And I think, you know, once it's all said and done, I don't think no one goes out there and say, I want to add to this legacy of Ohio State and all this other stuff. But looking back on it, you say, I'm happy I did, right? Yeah. Where we can kind of reminisce about stuff like that. And but yeah, our team was really good. And ironically, if you ask our coaches, you know, they thought we'd be a good team that year. And I think all the adversity we dealt with made us a really good team. But they really thought our chance to really win it was the following year, which It's happened flip-flop. We won the year before, and freaking we came up short the following year. And but yeah, I mean, talent all across that board on both sides of the ball. And I get a lot of credit for, you know, our success, and you know how quarterbacks is in this game. You know, you can hand the ball off fucking 40 times a game, and they say, you know, Cardale Jones and the Buckeyes won the game. You know what I'm saying? Right. Literally right. 2 years ago, Ryan Tannehill won. He got all the praise for throwing for less than 100 yards in a playoff game because they handed the ball off to Derrick Henry 38 times. So, but it was Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans won a playoff game. So, but our team was ridiculous. I mean, especially on defense, I played freely. I went out there and said, you know, I don't care what I do, right or wrong or indifferent. I know our defense gonna hold it down. So it was a great feeling.
Hey, well, we want to thank you for joining the show today and spending some time with us. We also want to shout out that we will see you these Saturdays with college football starting up. You got a new gig with CBS. You're doing some analyzing there, some college sports, right? We'll see you there.
Yeah. Looking forward to it, man. So we'll see.
All right, my man also hosts the biggest softball game in the Columbus area. He does that for a great cause with the Buckeye Crews for Cancer. And he's also working hard to get the talent to Ohio State with being one of the runners, owners of the foundation. So we appreciate all the work that you do for Ohio State, all the work you do for Ohio, and all the work you do for our alma mater, our Glenville Tar Butters up there in Cleveland, man. We appreciate you, and thanks for joining.
I appreciate it, Brad.